These are the recollections of Rabbi Zev Tikotsky of Rabbi Aaron Zal.
My name is Zev Tikotsky. I was in the wartime and together with my yeshiva in Shanghai. I came there independently before my yeshiva. And I came to the United States in 1948. And I learned for a year or two in my yeshiva here, but together with I came over the yeshiva. And then I came to for b'china to Rashiva, Zechayin Levracha, and he accepted me. When I came to yeshiva, the yeshiva was quite small, maybe about 60 talmidim. And the first two zmanim I learned the Chavusa of Rav Moshe Eisenman, Zechayin Levracha. When I arrived in Lakewood, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva had two buildings. And one was the dining room and kitchen. That's what's 617 6th Street. The building doesn't exist anymore nowadays. The new dining room now is on the location where it used to be. And there is Medrash. And then they had on Forest Avenue, corner east, fifth.
Seven.
They had east.
Wasn't seven?
Corner east, seventh. Yeah.
Wasn't east.
Seventh Street was the Bismedish.
Yeah.
And the Rosh Yeshiva slept together in the dormitory on 617 6th Street. He had a large room. And it's interesting that he didn't have a telephone in the room. Those days was not, communications were not so accepted, there were no cell phones. And when he got a phone call, he had to go downstairs. It didn't occur to install a phone in his bedroom. And many times he came by himself and he ate downstairs in the kitchen. In his room, he had a room where he received people. And another interesting thing is that he didn't have a private bathroom. There was a bathroom attached to his room, which he locked. But the Yeshiva Bochum, Yud Bochum, on the floor, which had other rooms, used that same bathroom. No private. When he went in, he locked both doors. You were able to speak to him any time, could come to the room. And then for learning and davening, we used to walk to the Bismarck on Forest Avenue, which was a short block and a half away. Cook in the yeshiva then was a certain Amona from German background by the name of Mrs. Berman. And a cook has, Bochum have certain things, they go into the kitchen, they take things or whatever it is, or they complain about the food, this and that. And Rosh Yeshiva was very makbid because she was an almona. There were two ladies, in fact, both were, one maybe was not an almona, I know, maybe she was a spinster. They both were from German background, and she had some many complaints about the Bochum, what they do, that she would steal some children Friday night, they take them this, she came in. She was conflicting. From one side she was very happy, they like her food, because they could by night take away children out of part, but you notice in the morning she was very upset. And Rosh Yeshiva was very concerned that since she's an almona, we should try to treat her very, not to be Messiah in any way, and very much out of his way to thank her for the food. He used to always be very mechabeter and to make compliments. And he did certain things which were maybe even not so much lekvoida, but she was helped the yeshiva. And he was very, very much went out of his way in order to be mesameach an almona. Yeshiva gave shiur twice a week, and the shiurim, there was a marmekaimus, and the shiurim were usually at least an hour. He spoke very, very fast. And sometimes when he got to the Indian, he could speak an hour and a half. And not everybody had the concentration and the will to work that hard. There were some people that did yichidim that put in a lot of effort, and they were able to do it for half, for 1 zman, for 2 zmanim, but the material was so overwhelming that after a while you just would be doing the shiur all the time. It was very, very hard for them. At the beginning, I used to pick up the shiur, and at the beginning I used to ask sometimes in the shiur, but sometimes he was quite sharp, and he did not like to be disturbed in the middle of the shiur. So then I stopped asking in the middle of shiur, and really we didn't work hard enough to get all the benefits you could get from working on the shiur was very, very hard. And he was very makbid that the bocher should have to be by the shiur, and when he wanted to go for the, one of the times he said shiur was on Shabbos, and therefore it was very difficult to get away on Shabbos, because the Shabbos is the shiur. And but that's the time a bocher could easily go home, whatever the rides. And that was always difficult to get away, get permission to leave for Shabbos. That time he went in half a week. He was in New York. He left Monday, Tuesday, and the yeshiva didn't have a car. There was not one car in the Gans Yeshiva. Not one Talmid, not anybody had a car. And first, a few years later, the yeshiva acquired, it was an old Schmatter car, which was not really to drive to New York for local errands, maybe. And the Rosh Yeshiva used to schlep sich to New York with the regular bus line. This still exists, the bus to Edling Public. The public, whatever it's called, the company. Yeah. There were two bus lines, and he used to live in Manhattan there. So the bus took him to the center of Manhattan, and somehow he took the train. Most probably, later he lived in Borough Park. So then he traveled by train, I think, to Borough Park. We did not appreciate at the time, and the work that he did mainly in New York was for raising funds for Chinuch Atzmoi, not for his own yeshiva. We at the time did not appreciate the Mesiras Nefesh that was involved in recruiting Talmidim for yeshiva. I was present by one or two occasions with parents. Usually how we acquired this Talmidim were anybody in those days wanted his son to be a doctor, a lawyer, a professional. There's nobody in the Langtau, Lishmo, Keidel. This whole concept was completely strange. So he was selling, really, the first question when someone came off the boat in those days, they didn't come by plane, they didn't travel by plane those days so much. Mm-hmm. Transatlantic flight was not common those days. So wherever a new man come to the United States, you meet a Jew in shul, the first question was, was macht der Verleben? What are you doing to make their life live? That was the cancer criteria. Someone tells me, I'm sitting and learning, but this is ridiculous. I mean, you have to go do something, pay yourself a life. Comes to Rosh Yeshiva. So usually, many times, the Talmidim used to come for summers, for the vacation time, when they had no college or no school or something like that. Talmidim used to come to Lakewood, and they became fired up. They mm-hmm. got a chesed in learning. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to convince the parents to let them stay learning yeshiva. Many a parent came down, what did you do to my son? What do you want? I can't. Nisha must get in college. He has to go. He has to pay. He has to go. And the Rashiva had a very hard sell. And from time to time, he used to have to say to a parent that he takes responsibility for his panosa. that he guarantees his says it's going to be fine. And this was a very, very big undertaking, because my parents were very insistent. So he says, I take responsibility, I have whatever it is, it's going to be fine. And that's how quite some Talmidim became Choshve Talmidim, some of them became Rosh Yeshivas, someone is now in Eretz Yisrael. He came, his father was a big doctor in Boston. Two, in fact, I think we have from Boston, both were doctors. One came, and the parents were not ready at all for this, and the Bocher was very, he became a Talmid Chacham, he learned in Lakewood. And he, in fact, was instrumental in establishing a lot of yeshivas afterwards when he got married. He was nifter a year or two ago, quite young. He married and left a beautiful family. And he was very active. He could express himself very well in English because he came from Boston. He went to good schools. But he came a full Ben Torah to this experience. And there were quite a few like this that came. And they got the time and learning, and they saw what we hoped for. And the parents were completely, even from good houses, many parents, but this was not in America, this doesn't sell. So it involved a lot of bizyoinus. You had to have a willpower to do, try to sell something. Now we look back, how can you go tell this, a barbos or a parent to tell his sons, 18, 17, 19, should continue learning? Sachte was completely strange. What are you going to do over here? You can't do such a thing. And he was insistent and got his way many, many times. And many real American families were very, very far away from Torah, but the Bochum had a feeling for Torah, and many of them came Choshe B'nai Torah. We had an influx also from very, very good Talmidim. We all became Choshve Talmid Chachomim. That was from Yeshivas Yaakov Yosef. But yeah, there was no battle. They were already prepared by the they had some Shanghai Talmidim for Yeshivas Yaakov Yosef. Rabbi Meir Hershkowitz, soll gesund sein, Rabbi Kagan from Denver, and some others. Whoever came from that class was Grosse Mitzionim. And in fact, Rabbi Hershkowitz Alan Bechavusa, the first man he came, was much younger than me. He was already brilliant then, wonderful, wonderful Talmid. And the yeshiva attracted and slowly grew with a lot of Mesiras Nefesh. The same thing can be said about his fundraising, that he went to New York, and once in a while he was left waiting in an office for a long time, could be an hour, till somebody, who is Rabban? Where was America Rabban? He has no shul, he has nothing, some place in Lakewood, nobody heard about that place. And people let him wait like a mishulach. And when he came out, it's like a kleiner, but a podala, Christman, Pizyanis to say, and a different person, not of his stature, not with his avos Torah, would have given up a long time. Could not be so persistent and adamant to fight for the emes and see that the whole country, wherever he goes, are against this. They don't understand what he wants, and he could say, this is a mokam tume, I'm going to Israel, we can't do it over here. And he would, so all this involved a lot of embarrassment, disyoinus, waste of time, so to say, because he used to carry safe all the time with him, the Mishnebura usually, but even lost a mensch of his stature, Kenish care zwei Worte English, molest him sitzen, warten, wait him in an office, and there were a few Balbatim which were very essential to help him a little bit. I don't know if they went a lot, but later they went along with him, but there were certain visits to people. But there was Erwin Bühne, which had a big schus. I mean, it's known now in books and so on and so forth. He had a very, very big schus. He spoke at yeshiva's functions, and he was a very good speaker. Was a little bit interesting and funny, and was able to hold an audience and became very mushpah. And you could say that he became really a Talmud Muvik in the Balbatische world. Erwin Bühne became a Talmud Muvik from the Rosh Yeshiva, and with his hashkofes, and influenced his family, and he was zoiche. He has a very, very big schus to lighten the work. To sometimes he had to go to Washington for things. He used to go along, and he played. I would say he has a very, very big schus with some other balbatim. I don't remember all the names. There was some balbatim that helped along, lived in ballpark one balpoz. And in those days was hard to find balbatim which were willing to support this cause, because it was very unpopular and nobody wants to join an unpopular cause. But Vibalti did l'shem Shemayim, and therefore we see such type of Peres, such kind of Hatzlocha. He was when they built the first new building, the which is the Bismedish, the present Bismedish, when they built the second Bismedish, the Roshiva was concerned that they overbuilt, it's going to be half empty, and he did not believe that we were going to have embarrassment with Yoinus from this. We made a great building and we can't even fill it up. He never dreamt of the Hatzlocha, even at that time already, when we were building it. We went from a small Smedish to such a, at that time, was considered a very big Smedish. Now we look around, we have Baruch Hashem 3, Bottom and Roshim, Lake Bottom 4, and it just keeps on going, it's Kenayin Hall. But the reason for this Gewaltige Hatzlocha is because the foundation of the yeshiva was done with blood and sweat and l'shem Shemayim and with sach b'zyoynes for emes for teure, and that's why the Rosh Yeshiva was matzliach to have such a gesunde, such a the foundation. You build a healthy foundation, then we zeiche to habotzes teure in ganz America and the whole world. There are talmidim from Lakewood Kailim which spread out, which the Rosh Yeshiva even later did not dream that it will ever be. I mean, there was a spontaneous abnormal growth after Rosh Yeshiva passed away and Rav Shneur took over and enlarged the yeshiva unbelievable. The Safson was the building filled up and was Chas v'Shalom no b'zyoynes, and this now is a COVID, and he was zoiche that instead of parents should say, I want my son to go to college to be a doctor, be a lawyer, people are looking for the best bochim in Lakewood for shiduchim. That became a status and a covet. And Baruch Hashem, it is that way. And that this attitude, that the whole mentality of people are the Talmudic Olam, that we have the Babatish Olam and all the moistest, are an outgrowth of the Habotzes Hatzor von Rosh Yeshiva. I came here, I was all alone. My mother passed away in China, Shanghai. My father could not come to the United States. I came as a student together with Nir Yeshiva. And I was here all alone. You could say there's no real family over here. And the yeshiva was my home. And after a while, I was there a few years in Lakewood. So I was marriage age, and the Rosh Yeshiva started talking Shaduchim a little bit to Sambochim. He preferred to talk Shaduchim to Babatim, which have some means to make it easier. The Koyling man those days, I mean, some Koyling light and liquid at those days used to drink, the cups were Yahrzeit licht glasses that they washed out and tabled them. Mm-hmm. I myself ate in a house by Rav Moshe Eisenman, and that's how he lived, with his tzaddiket, with his Rebbetzin, with a large family, and it was not easy to be in Koyling there. If your wife could get a job in those days, there were not so many moistures, they helped along a little bit. And he tried to talk Shaduchim with Babatim that could, of some means, which could help. So he talked me one Shidach, which from a certain Balboz that helped yeshivas a little bit. And I, Bedafke, did not want to go to a Babatish Shidach. I needed, especially since I needed a home, a warm home, something that's the background where I come from. And sometimes was a shidduch, there was maybe one parent wasn't there, it was not a normal household. And I did not even sometimes he proposed that to go, and then I wouldn't even go for the first time. It happened maybe once or twice, because I was afraid of shidduchim, which business people background, and many times it happens that they schlep yard eventually, they take somebody, a young man, a shidduch of a kishrin, and I also had one advantage, because I was a European bocher, but I spoke English when I came off the boat, because I attended an American-style high school in Shanghai, China, because I came before the yeshiva, and there was a rich man in Shanghai, his father by the name of Kaduri family, that built American style, a real big, many classrooms, at an American style or American style high school, and I learned English there, and I came here, I spoke English, but I wrote English. I was all of 18 when I arrived here, and so I was, so you could say, more Americanized, because I was, yes. So since I spoke English, I was more Oyver LaSeicher, not so European. Mm-hmm. And Lemaitre, I don't think I went out once, but he didn't speak me too many shidduchim, but whenever, sometimes he did, and I don't know if I once even went out for the shidduch that he proposed, because that was right away a little bit suspicious to being that I learned the first two zman with Rav Moshe. I became very close to Rav Moshe Eisenman. And I used to eat Bem Shabbosim, I was a Menagan, they liked the Medina. I also used to sing with Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashuda, Rosh Hashiva, and enjoyed Medina too. And most probably there's nobody from the Talmidim that knew the Shurim from Rosh Hashiva as well as Rav Moshe, Zechayin Levracha. When he came to Lakewood, he left Terevah Das, he was in Terevah Das by Rav Reuven, and for some reason he thought that he'll get more talents coming to Rosh Hashiva, and became a Talmud Muvik, and he worked in the Shurim, he knew the Shurim on the Yeshiva Shemesechtis perfectly, had written them down, and he used to speak a lot to Rosh Hashiva and argue a lot and get a lot of lot of outbursts. The yeshiva became very, very, sometimes very excitable in the shiur, the Eish HaTorah, that's the emes. And Rav Moshe knew the shurim well and knew sometimes the weak points and things which can be asked about. But he told me an interesting observation once, that we find in Gedolim there's two types of people. Especially the Kadmonim is mashma, they were able to break through midas and change themselves radically, very, very in a fast way. They were very strong-willed people, strong-minded, and once they made up their minds, they could subdue and subject themselves and change themselves in a fast and in a relatively short time. And in the Baal HaMusar nowadays, generally, they propose to work, a person should go gradually, madrege by madrege, you cannot change yourself, sometimes if you're not matzliach, you lose everything. And most people are that way. And once we gain new ground and we strike on something, we should fortify it and get absorbed into the system. And Rav Moshe once told me that Rav Shiva is one of these type of people that do not go gradually, that if he is convinced that it is something he changed, he could change himself and elevate himself in a short time period to break through things and become differently. And even when many times he had difference in opinions and learning and other matters, personal things, and he spoke with the greatest awe about Rav Shiva. He said he's not like a person, an average outlook, like a person, he's much higher, much more elevated, he looks from a different perspective, he can't even have an imagination the way he looks at things. And even when he disagreed with him, but always was with the biggest, usually when a person has disagreements, be it in learning, or be it in personal matters, and after a while, if you have your own mind, you start to diminish a little bit the mus from the person that you disagree. Especially when you get very close with him, as we know that that familiarity breeds contempt. We get to know each other, and I did not feel this. He had the biggest order, the biggest Derech Eretz. He had a strong will also. Moshe was a strong personality, and he had things that he not the Dafke was agreed with the things, many things that Rashi sometimes held. But nevertheless, he did not, he was completely in awe from the godless von Rosh Hashiva. That's a very important, find as a very important nakuda, that he really was a Talmud Muvik. And there was a time that he was even considered maybe for to become Edinburgh Rosh Hashiva. There was such kind of a havamina, but never came to Lamaisa, but there was such a half a minute, whatever it is. So this is an akuda that impressed me very, very much. And I personally, since Rashi was very sharp in disagreements and learning, especially, and it's not every time it can be mevata, you're supposed to do it, and this is what Chazal say, you should be mekabel v'zion from the Rebbe and mekabel v'zion, that is the atzlocha. But not everybody has this strengthen him to know and be able to take the visionis and go weiter. And Shir Einhard has this godless in himself, and then you think that you lose out in a certain way. So at that time also there were these Gedolei Talmidim, Reb Elie Schwebers on Lake Woden, Reb Shmuel Kanetsky, and Reb Meir Hershkowitz came later, a little bit later, younger Talmid, but these people were then the major Talmidim from the Rosh Yeshiva, and eventually they became big Mabitzot Torah from the Hashpo that they had in Lakewood.